You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I really want to talk to you about taking your place. Taking your place in the authority that God has given you. Taking your place in restoration. Taking your place in deliverance. Taking your place with the salvation that He's given to you. And you know, taking your place is not just for us as Christians. You are the light in this world. And as you share that light, you're actually revealing to people that they too can take their place in this world and share in that same authority, share in that same salvation, share in that same deliverance. And God wants to restore His people this morning. God wants you to understand, to learn, to be confident, to know how to take your place in everything that He has accomplished on the cross, that you can take your place in everything that He has won for you, that you can enforce the victory this morning. What a powerful time of worship. What a powerful time of deliverance this morning. You know, the Bible tells us very plainly how our tongues and the words we speak can open the door to good or evil in our lives, to blessing or to cursing. You know what I felt the Holy Spirit say today? This is not just a message to be heard. Every time somebody preaches, it's not just a message to be heard. The Holy Spirit wants you to not only hear, but to live. He wants you to live in the knowledge and the power and the authority of what His Word brings to you. I want to look at our key scripture this morning, Proverbs 18:21 from the Passion Translation. Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person, I'm in trouble now, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. From the NIV, it says the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. With your tongue, you can choose to build or destroy dreams. You can heal or break the spirit, bring delight or despair. You can bless or you can curse. And we see this so many instances in the Bible of this principle. In the Gospels, Jesus revealed Himself to us. Through our words, we can bring the power of God into our situations of sickness, confusion, adversity, and even death, and have life. We saw in the Gospels that Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves and they were stilled. Jesus spoke to sicknesses and men and women were completely healed. Jesus spoke life and people were raised from the dead, knowing these words did not come from Him but from His Father. You know, Jesus, I think, discovered incredible delight in His relationship with His Father. How is it that Jesus could draw aside? You know, for us today, I believe trying to draw aside if the crowds were leaning upon us, how easy would it be for you and I today to draw away from the crowds, away from the attention, away from those wanting to hear what we have to say, and be like Jesus and draw to the Father to hear what the Father has to say? You see, Jesus knew how to draw aside, that not even at times the crowds could persuade Him to say, because He needed to hear what the Father was saying. He didn't go on His own authority. He went on the authority of His Father. And I believe that Jesus found such delight in His relationship with God. That's why He could draw aside so often to hear and see and understand what the Father wanted to do to all those people in the crowd. That every single time a wind and a wave, sickness rose up in front of Him, Jesus, not on His own authority, on His Father's authority, because He drew aside what He heard, what He saw. That's what He brought to every single person. That's why He could see restoration. That's why He could see deliverance. That's why He could see healing, because it was not His own word. It was the words from his father, the word that does not fail, the word that meets its destination point at every time. It will always meet its destination if you have the word from your father. But there is delight as you draw aside. It's not a physical activity of straining and striving. This is not works. As you press in and lean into your father, you will find delight. Do you know that you will understand how your father feels? Do you know that you will understand what makes him happy? What brings delight to him? That so much so that there will be a moment in your day where that same delight rises up within your spirit and you realize that your delight is in the Lord and you are his delight this morning. Jesus discovered delight. I want to look at Numbers 13 today, and this is the Israelites with Moses, Joshua, and Caleb as they're exploring Canaan. Verse 13 from Numbers 13 says this: "The Lord said to Moses, 'Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites.' So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran." Just remember, they've come through the Red Sea. Just remember, they've been restored. They've been freed out of slavery and bondage. Don't forget, they've been fed by manna, food by night, food by day, and the fire by night to lead them to where they were going. Let's not forget the miracles that have already taken place, and now they're coming in to search and spy out the land of the promised land that God is giving them. "When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, 'Go up through the Negev and onto the hill country. I want you to see what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good? Is it bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile? Is it poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land.'" You know, I think what's so interesting about this is that God, by his Spirit, has shown them the power of God. That no matter what stood against them, God crossed them over to the other side. And Moses is saying to these 12 spies, "I want you to go search out this land and tell me it is what you see. Tell me what it looks like. Tell me what it sounds like. Come back with a report." Because we need to remember that before they went in there, what was God's promise to them? "I am leading you to a land that flows with milk and honey." Surely if they've been fed, surely if they've been given direction, surely if the Red Sea has opened up, that God's word is true today, just like it was when he led them through the waters onto dry land. "I am leading you to a land and my promises are yes and amen. You've seen my word not fail. It's a land flowing with milk and honey." And then they come back with the report. You see, Moses was not asking these spies to give them a report from the natural, from their mind, their will, and emotions. What had been promised to them was given to them by the Spirit, to their spirit. What Moses was looking for, what God was training them to not walk by sight, but to walk by their spirit and to give an analysis and an interpretation of what they see according to the Spirit, according to who they know God is. And it says this in verse 26, "They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account: 'We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey.'" Isn't that telling them already, hey, what God said is true? God has brought us through all these battles of slavery, of waters, of having nothing to eat. And what God is saying is true. The land flows with milk and honey. They gave Moses this account: "It does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. They just escaped the Red Sea, and they were fed by heaven. But they're giving an interpretation out of their mind, their will, and emotion. But I love, out of the 12 spies, there was two who disagreed. There was two who had a different spirit. There was two who decided to give an account of what they saw and what they were interpreting according to all who God was. And that was Joshua and Caleb. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land because we can certainly do this." They had an understanding that their God was so powerful that they weren't going on their own authority into the promised land. They were going on the authority of where God told them of what was theirs and what they could possess. You know, through our words, we can bring the power of God. Knowing his word never fails and always brings us to a point of destination in his lives. Do you honestly think that God is going to promise them something and lead them to die what he's promised them? He's promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. Is he really going to lead them to their death? Or is he leading them to a land to possess, to have wealth that they've never seen before? But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." You know what the problem was? Is those 10 spies never aligned their words to what God said that they could have. But there was two spies that rose up against that negativity, rose up against those words that were bringing curses to the people, and said, "If our God says that we can have this promised land flowing with milk and honey, it is ours for the taking." Everything that God says to you, if you come in alignment to his words, if you trust him, if you believe him, if you stand, even when the mountain is screaming to you, it will be yours. Because what happens is there's a door. For the last 3 or 4 weeks, all I've seen in my spirit is God showing me this door. And all I can hear is negativity knocking. All I can hear is sickness knocking. All I can hear is depression knocking and mental health and struggles. But God would say to us today, even though you are hearing the devil and disease and bad reports and negativities knocking on the other side of the door, do not let it in. Stand firm and resist the devil and he will flee. You can't open this door for him. Why? Because he'll take your authority. He'll take your authority. And what happens is, if we open up the door, oh, it does open. That's good to my story. You see, this is the problem, is that we let the door open at times. And we wonder why we start to feel attacked. We wonder why our mind, our will and emotion starts to rise with feelings that overcome us. We know that God is true. We know that his word does not fail us. But why are we not experiencing it? Why are Christians not experiencing it? There's a tension that lies between your spirit and your mind, your will and emotions. In your spirit, you know that God's word doesn't fail, but you are not experiencing it. And Christians are confused across the board. I know his word doesn't fail, but I don't seem to be walking in it. Let me tell you what's happening. Is that the enemy, now I'm stuck. The enemy keeps banging on your door. Are you really healed? Are you sure that God's word doesn't fail? I'm not sure about your mental health at the moment. Can you really have the control of the Holy Spirit over those areas of your life? Don't listen to the enemy. Resist the devil. Stand firm and he will flee. Don't open the door, because when you open up the door, you're giving over your power and your authority over the enemy. What happens is, if we listen to the enemy, if we start to agree with doubt and negativity in our hearts, it lets his authority to come in and attack us. The church is beautiful. The church is strong. But the church also doesn't realize the authority that it has and can walk in, and the land that flows with milk and honey that it can actually possess. And Christians are confused. You can't interpret what God says to you and your spirit by your flesh. You can only interpret what God says to you in the spirit according to your spirit, according to the Spirit of God. And I reckon over the last 4 or 5 weeks of God showing me, this has taken me 20 years to get this. I've been the confused one in the church, living between the tension of my spirit and my soul and my spirit. Are you really going to do it? Are you really going to do it? Do you really say that's true? Because at times I see those breakthroughs, and at times I'm struggling because I've let doubt come in through the door. But the tension is over. They're stronger. They're spread among us. We can't do it. We look the same to them. We're grasshoppers in their sight. They didn't align their words to what God was saying they could have. Giants were talking and they were listening. Mountains were shouting at them and they were coming into agreement with them. But I love that Joshua and Caleb aligned their words. You know, doubt will never destroy your enemies. Doubt will never destroy your enemies. It is God's power and His word that has the authority to break the hold over the enemy's authority over our lives. Through our words, we can bring the power of God and take hold of the victory that has already been won for us. Do we open? Do we close? Do we open? Do we close? Close the door. Stay aligned. Don't entertain the enemy. Trust in everything that God has said to you. You are His children. You are His delight. And He wants you to find the same delight in Him, knowing that His word is true. His word is yes and amen, and it will not fail you. 1 John 3:3-7 says this, and all who focus their hope on Him will always be purifying themselves just as Jesus is pure. Jesus discovered this incredible delight in the relationship with His Father, and God wants this to be true for us today. Delightfully loved children, don't let anyone divert you from this truth. The person who keeps doing what is right proves that he is righteous before God, even as the Messiah is righteous. You know, I think what's interesting with Jeremiah is that God came to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, that you are going to powerfully speak to that nation of people who are rebellious and away from me. And your words, because of my authority that backs you, is going to bring great salvation and great restoration and great deliverance to the land. You see, God was giving him a word of his calling in his spirit realm. But what was the first thing that Jeremiah did? What was the first thing that we do at times? But I can't speak, Lord. You want me to be a prophet to the nations? I can't speak. I can't say all these things that you want me to do. You want me to speak about deliverance and restoration? I can't do it. And I'm only 14 years of age. I'm too young. You see, that's what can happen when God gives you a word in your spirit. We naturally respond from our soul realm, our mind, our will and emotions, our limitations, our weaknesses, the lack of confidence that we can have at times, and say, God, I don't know that you've picked the right person. I don't know if those words are for me. I don't think I can do it. But what does God say to Jeremiah? Stop, Jeremiah. Stop speaking those words. They're not in alignment to what it is that I'm saying to you. Don't come to me with your soul realm. Don't stay in your soul realm. I need you to stay in the conversation with me until you move out of your soul realm and believe from your spirit all that I am handing and saying to you and calling you to be. Let me tell you, God has called you in your spirit, but you cannot interpret a calling of God in your mind, your will, and emotions. It will be completely out of alignment, and it will let the enemy have a field day with your mind and your heart. What God gives to you in your spirit, you have to take a hold of in your spirit. And then there's one more thing. You have to walk it according to the Spirit of God. Every time doubt knocks on my door, I'm standing on that door with the backing of the kingdom of God. You see, if I'm in alignment, if I'm trusting God and I'm not doubting, I have the backing of heaven behind me that door will always remain closed to the enemy. Resist the devil and he will flee. I believe you, God, that you have called me to be a prophet to the nations. I believe you, God, that you're going to move me boldly in finance. I believe you, God, that every pop-up service that this church goes on mission to, we are going to see salvations. We're going to see deliverance because I believe all that you're saying to me. No matter how the time passes, no matter what the mountain is saying to me, no matter what doubt rises in my heart, I will take a hold of it and deal with it and let it be under my feet because God, I have the authority of you and I'm going to stand firm even when the time seems long, even when the picture is completely out of alignment to everything that God has said to me. I am going to stand firm because the promised land is ours and it's flowing with milk, it's flowing with honey, and it's all for yours to possess. But I see Christians today, including myself, who are not taking possession of everything that God has given to them. And there lies this tension. I know God is real. I know God's word does fail, but it's not happening in my own life. I can't seem to see it happening. I can't seem to break through. The sickness is still here. Stand firm, resist the devil, and he will flee. No matter how long it takes, it has already been done on the cross. You just need to enforce the victory. You see, when the enemy comes knocking at the door, I'm not standing here with all my strength. In my weakness, he is strong. I have to stand into alignment. When I stand in alignment, it's his power. It's not my strength, it's his strength. It's not my might, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that stands with me in that moment. And that's why I can resist the devil and stand firm. Do you believe that you can have everything that God has spoken into your spirit? Because I'm here to tell you today, it's true and you can have it, but you can't let doubt in. You have to deal with that spirit of doubt. You have to deal with that spirit of negativity. You have to deal with that spirit of opposition because you have already won the battle and resurrection power lives and breathes and dwells inside of you but wants to come out. Hear me. He wants to come out, but he can only come out through the alignment of your words. Your words have the power to bring life or death, and we will eat of its fruit. What are you eating? What are you eating? I was eating a lot of doubt for a lot of years. Did you say it, God? Did you really mean it? Did you really mean it? Did you really mean it? Did you? It's 20 years now. It's taking so long. Did you really mean it? Yes, he did, but I didn't believe it. I doubted at times. At times I'd have peaks. Yes, God, you can do it. And then the time would pass and years would pass. I'm just not sure. And I started to doubt. The problem is when I opened up the door to my doubt, it let the authority of the enemy into my mind where it made me believe that God has favorites and God's dangling carrots before me. And it's not true. I let the enemy in. Hear me. I let the enemy in. Does God have favorites? Yes, all of you. It's not just one over the other. Does God dangle carrots? Absolutely, absolutely not. But it is your words that make you possess the land that he wants to give you. So how do we do this? How do we take authority? How do we stand firm? What was the key in Jesus' life that we saw that every single word never fell to the ground? Every single word met its target. He seemed to know what to do with the woman at the well. He seemed to know what to do with the blind man. He seemed to know what to do with the lame man. Why is it that every time he came and met sickness that they were healed? Why is it that demon possessed were set free and transformed? Why is it that Jesus knew what to do every single time and it worked? It was three things. John 12:49-50. This is because I have never, this is Jesus speaking, this is because I have never spoken on my own authority or on my own accord or as self-appointed. But the Father who sent me, him himself has given me orders concerning what to say and what to tell. And I know that his commandment means eternal life. So whatever I speak, I'm saying exactly what my Father has told me to say and in accordance with his instructions. I get this. 20 years, I get this now. 20 years of getting it sometimes, not getting it, getting it sometimes. Let me tell you, I have got a hold of this because of the Holy Spirit teaching me and helping me with strength in my weakness. I understand now that Jesus never spoke what he didn't hear first from his Father because he drew aside. How much are you drawing aside? How great is your dependence on the Holy Spirit and hearing? Are things not working? Is doubt starting to take a hold over your mind and your heart? Have you let your authority go? Can I just encourage you, draw aside. The Holy Spirit, he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak into your spirit. He wants to bring deliverance to your mind where we've let doubt come in about what God has promised us. And he wants to restore your mind so that you believe all that a loving God, hear me, a loving God who took everything upon the cross so that you could have everything. That's what he wants for you and I, John 5:19. So Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself or his own accord, but he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way in his turn. Jesus was seeing what the Father was showing him. He was seeing the lame man healed before anybody else with the Father. Jesus was seeing the mute person who couldn't speak, speaking with the Father before anything else, before anybody else. Did you know that you can see what God wants to do before it even happens in the natural? Like, can you just take a pause for a second and understand what we're saying here? You can see what the Father wants you to see. If he wants you to see salvation, deliverance, restoration, a new job opportunity, you can see it before it even happens. Imagine the confidence and the authority that you're walking into life when you see what the Father is wanting to show you and speak to you about. And this is what Jesus is talking to us about, that you can see, that you can hear, and you can learn how to do it in the way that the Father is showing you how to do it. Through our words, we can bring the power of God, seeing as he sees, speaking as he speaks, and walking it out in victory that we can enforce, because his word, when you've got it, it does not fail. You know, I want to talk about the story of Luke chapter 7, 36 to 50. What does it look like when you walk in his authority? What does it look like when you walk in the grace of Jesus? What does it look like when you walk in favor, in forgiveness, in salvation, in restoration? What does it look like when you walk in the power and authority of God? And I think that you see a brilliant picture here in Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50. Verse 36, afterward, a Jewish religious leader named Simon asked Jesus to his home for dinner. Jesus accepted the invitation, and when he went to Simon's home, Jesus took his place at the table. What does it mean to take your place? You know, when I go to my parents' house for dinner, I know exactly where my dad is going to sit. I know exactly where my mum is going to sit. I know where my children are going to sit. But this is not really about where you sit at the table. It's about your authority that you sit in a space and time with. Jesus took his place of authority. Jesus took his position of who he was in God at that table. He knew who he was when he took that place. What does it mean to take your place? It means that you see the way your Father is seeing. When you take your place at the table, you're hearing what your Father is saying to you, and you know how to outwork His words into a situation. Because we see at that dinner that night, it's not just Simon the Pharisee who's asked Jesus over for dinner, but there is a prostitute woman that everybody knows about in that town. And as Jesus was sitting down at the table, before He even got there, it actually says in commentaries that this prostitute was waiting 15 minutes before Jesus even came to Simon's house. She was expectant. She was waiting. She was eager. You know what I love about Jesus is that sinners were always drawn to Jesus. But when a sinner is drawn to Jesus, which means forgiveness and restoration is always there waiting for them on the other side. And so when Jesus came to the house and He took His place at the table, there was Simon the Pharisee, there was other people around there, but there was the prostitute there. They never give her a name and just call her the prostitute because that's how she was identified to everybody. And I love what she did. She came with the most expensive bottle of perfume that was a year's wages to anybody else. And she started to pour perfume on His feet, realizing that His feet were dusty and the normal customary that was supposed to happen never happened to Him at the door. So she began to pour her tears onto His feet, and she began to wash them and clean them with her hair and dry them off and put that expensive perfume onto the feet of Jesus, honoring Him and crying Him. And Simon the Pharisee looks over, identifying her as the prostitute, bringing judgment in his heart, interpreting her according to his mind, will, and emotions, already keeping her in the same identity that she was already held hostage to. But he wasn't freeing her. He was just keeping her there with his judgment, with his interpretation of the situation. But let me tell you, when you take your place at the table, when you hear from God, when you see from God, and you interpret from God, this is what grace looks like. He never treated her as the prostitute. He never identified her as the prostitute. He said, Simon, let me give you a word right now. Because Simon had pointed out what's happening here with this prostitute. The perfume that she brought could have fed the poor for a whole year. What is it that she's doing? And Jesus says, Simon, let me give you a word right now. And I can imagine Simon in that moment going, here's my moment. Jesus, I'm going to find out now. I'm going to find out if he's real. He's got a word for me. You see, holiness to Simon meant staying away from people that were unclean. Holiness to God was drawing the sinner to Him that they may be saved and restored and set free. And I love what Jesus did. Look, Simon, here is this woman. You didn't do the customary thing for me when I first come. You know, my feet were dirty. They were dusty. You didn't have your servants there with a bowl of water and a towel to wash and to dry my feet before I entered the house. But this woman who has nothing to you, has everything to me. She's used perfume, her own tears in worship, understanding who I am. Simon, you're testing who I am. She knows who I am because of the grace that I'm showing her. Sinners will know restoration by the grace that is in you, and that's what will draw them to who lives inside of you. Simon, this woman, because she has been forgiven much, will love much. And he says, daughter, you are free to go. Be saved. That's what taking your place at the table looks like. It talks about grace. It talks about seeing a person from the Spirit of God's perspective and not your own. Do you know how freeing it is to come in alignment to your words and you stop judging people? Do you know how freeing it is to not judge people? Do you know how freeing it is to not judge people, to show grace and mercy to people? Because judgment does not win people to Jesus, but grace, who is Jesus, does. Take your place at the table. Don't open the door to judgment. Don't open the door to your interpretation. Don't open the door to your perspectives. You don't know what the woman's life might have been like as a child. You don't know what she's experienced. You don't know why she got into prostitution. But he does. Do you get it? He does. He does. And if we can just see the way our Father is seeing people, if we can just hear, because he knows everything, if we can just hear about what he wants to say to the prostitute, that he wants to say to your work colleague, that he wants to say to your child, that he wants to say to your family member, that he wants to say to that stranger that he's asking you to go talk to. If you just get those words from your Father, they will bring grace and truth and life and repentance and salvation. Amen. Amen. Same table, but Jesus was seeing everything differently than what Simon could. I love what Galatians 2:20 says. My old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. And all I've been saying in the last 4 to 5 weeks that I finally got a hold of this. Amen. This is good for our church, people. This is great. The pastor gets it. This is a good thing. This pastor won't be dancing around anymore. This pastor's tension is over. I know who I've been called to be. And so in the last, you know, couple of months now that God's been speaking to me about this, I cannot believe the amount of sickness that comes knocking at your door. I cannot believe the amount of judgment that would try and rise up within your heart to judge another person. I was at the shopping center the other day and I said to my friend, hey, just count how long it takes you for a judgment to form in your heart. And she's like, it's already there. I said, absolutely, same here. We have to push those judgments down. We have to not open up the door to judgment. We have to not open up the door to sickness. So this is what I've been saying, because I'm saying, God, you got to show me. I don't want to be hyper spiritual and go, oh, I'm not sick. That's ridiculous. And so I'm like, Holy Spirit, can you show me what to say? I need to do this according to your truth and your word. And he said, what you need to say is that sickness is attacking you, but you don't have to come into alignment. Sickness is not from God. Let's be clear. If you're confused, sickness does not come from God. We live in a fallen, sinful world. The enemy has authority in this world that we live in, but he only has it if you give it to him. You hearing me? He only has it if you give it to him. If you give it to him, he will start attacking you with a greater level of sickness. I'm just being, that's the word. Come see me afterwards. And so in the last 6 to 8 weeks, when that cough starts to come, God, I just pray right now that I'm being attacked by this sickness, but I will not come into alignment with it. And by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, I was healed. I was healed. So right now, with the help and the power, resurrection power, I might add, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now lives inside of me, because this body I don't live in anymore. It's Jesus Christ who lives in me. My old identity has been crucified with Christ. This life I now live is in Jesus Christ. And so I enforce the victory of the cross. I enforce the victory of healing. And no matter how long it takes, I stand firm until I cross to the other side. Whether healing happens on this earth or in heaven, it will happen. Hear me. It will happen. It's God's word. It does not lie. It does not fail. What are you believing for? What has he promised you? What has he spoken into your spirit this morning? I promise you, I'm giddy this morning with joy. You can have everything he's promised you. And I'm going to start banging on about this for the next 20 years of my life until I see you all walk in it. I'm not going to let any of you doubt anymore. You don't need to doubt. You don't need to doubt for your child. You don't need to doubt. I want you to start declaring healing over it. I want you to start declaring that anaphylactic needs to go in Jesus' name. We stand firm on the healing of God. We are the body of Christ. I'm not trying to hype you up this morning. You need to believe what is already yours. It's yours to possess. It's yours to own. But don't let doubt rise up. Stand firm. Your word. words spoken in line with God's promises have life-changing power, enormous power. Mark 11:23 says, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. This is not to be trifled with. Have no doubt in your heart. No matter what the mountain is saying, have no doubt in your heart. What God says to you is yes and amen. Don't have doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Your words will open wide the treasury of heaven. Because Jesus has accomplished everything you need at the cross, God is constantly supplying grace, health, protection, deliverance, and whatever you need in life. Number three, your words have a double portion of speaking power. Whoa, that gets me excited. You know what I heard this morning? We're doing pop-up services in Drysdale, Ocean Grove, Armstrong Creek, and Lara. But I saw myself this morning that when I welcomed everybody online to join us, that I was welcoming a prison in Geelong. That's what I heard from my Father this morning. It's not just a pop-up service in Drysdale and Ocean Grove and Armstrong Creek and Lara. There's a pop-up service in the jail in Geelong that's going to happen because people are going to understand we have the power and authority. We have the power and authority. We have the power and authority that we are in to possess the territory of Geelong, that lives can be changed as we come into alignment with God's word this morning. Do you believe it? Who's going to come into the jails with me? All those tough ones are going to rise up and be like, I'll stand behind you. Philippians 2:13. You know, I felt as we come to a time of prayer, that I really felt that people's sleep is being disrupted at night. You're not getting proper rest at night. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. He wants to minister to you today. Whatever is keeping you up at night, whatever is keeping your mind running around on thoughts and circumstances and situations, God actually has intended rest for you, but He wants to minister to you what is disrupting your sleep and your heart and your life. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is not your strength. I can't keep the door closed in my strength. I can't do it. But the Holy Spirit can, because the Holy Spirit now lives and dwells and resides within me. But it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability. He longs for you, creating you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose. For His good pleasure, Romans 8:26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And this is what I love. The word help means to take hold together against, not by yourself. When you don't know what to pray, as you begin to speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit speaks through words through you, words of deliverance, words of hope, words of restoration, but He needs you first. So when you don't know what to pray, it's okay, speak in tongues, and the Holy Spirit is going to come together with you and take hold against the situation together. You have the might and the strength of the Holy Spirit this morning. Proverbs 18:21. It says in Romans 8, and you can be confident that when you ask anything according to the will of God, He hears you. And if you know that He hears you, whatever you ask, you know that you have the petitions that you have asked of Him. Proverbs 8:21. Like I started out, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love will eat of its fruit. This is what God showed me this morning when they went into the land flowing with milk and honey. The grapes were so big there that men had to carry them on big pieces of wood on either side, because the grapes were the size of men and bigger. The land was flowing with milk and honey. that healing is the children's bread. And what it actually means is that those who love God's word, those who believe what God says he will do, will eat of its fruit. Now, this is the thing. The milk was goat's milk. So it wasn't just milk, but it was meat to sustain them that they could eat as well. It was sustainable in the land, flowing with milk and honey. It wasn't just the milk. It was super abundance that he would feed them as well. When you go into the land filled with honey, I've got to get this so I can really tell you, the land flowing with milk and honey means to flow. It means to gush. It's the richest portion of a substance. Honey is a refined essence, but it was conditional upon the obedience of the Lord. You see, the 10 spies who gave a negative report, this is what happened. They changed their minds. Did you know that? They gave the negative report, and then Joshua and Caleb rose up, and then the 10 said, well, hang on a minute. No, we changed our minds. We want to go into the promised land. But because they weren't obedient, guess what defeated the enemies in the promised land? Their words of obedience, aligning in with what God said they could have. But because they didn't believe, if they had have gone into the land, they would have been destroyed by the enemies. You know what destroys your enemies? Your words lining up with what God says you can have and what you can do. They could never go into the land. They would have been destroyed by the giants in a second because they weren't in alignment. But Joshua and Caleb were. And so when they walked into the promised land, it was their obedience to entering into the land flowing with milk and honey that was continually refining them so that they could have the increase of everything God said they could have. There's flow in your words. There is abundance in your trust. There is great power and deliverance if you believe what God says to you, and you can eat gluten free. Don't just look at what you can have. I've done it. We've done it. Can we draw a line in the sand? I don't want to just look at the superabundance. I don't want just to see the grapes the size of a man. I don't want to see sustenance. I don't want to see sustainability. I don't want to see the very best and just keep looking at it when I can eat it. The body of Christ needs to learn how to eat and possess all that God has for them. Amen. Father God, I just pray with bread all in my mouth. I need to tell you, God, who you called at 20 years of age, I'm back and I'm standing firm and I'm possessing the land flowing with milk and honey. So that means as a church, we're going to start to possess all that you have given us, because we're not going to have doubt in our heart. We're going to believe all that you have said to us, because we're walking in a land flowing with milk and honey. It is our time to possess all that you have given the church. The church is beautiful, and the church needs to rise, because as we stand this morning, we're going to worship our God.
This morning, as I look out here, what I see is a church who is ready to take its place. I see individuals within the church who are taking their place. You are taking your place within the kingdom, understanding who you are, what God has called you for, and you are here to do something amazing for the kingdom. It's called commission, and you are taking your place in all authority, and nothing's going to hold you back anymore in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So good. So maybe you're in this room this morning and you're watching online and you're like, I like the sound of that. I like the idea of that. But I don't know if I can do that yet because I don't have Jesus. Yes, you are right. The only way to do that is to have Jesus in your heart, for him to take your sin and come into relationship with Jesus. That's how we step into taking our place. And so just with everyone's eyes closed this morning, if you're in this room or you're watching online or watching at a later time, I just want to encourage you. This is your moment to come into relationship with Jesus. God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross, to be buried, rise again on the third day for the forgiveness of your sin. That's how much he loves you. That's how fervently and deeply he loves you. And he wants to bring you back into relationship. So this morning, with everyone's eyes closed, if that's you, on the count of three, I'm going to give you the opportunity to lift your hand and respond to relationship with Jesus, to receive his forgiveness and repent of your sin. 1, 2, 3. Why don't you raise your hand this morning if that's you in this place? So anyone say, yeah, I need to respond to Jesus, to relationship with him. If you're watching online this morning, you can respond exactly where you are right now. So yeah, that's me. Awesome. This is what I wanted to do just for anyone who raised the hand. Or maybe you were saying, I don't want to put it up. You know, it's not about hands up or hands down. It's about hearts responding to Jesus. Confessing with your mouth, believing your heart that Jesus is Lord. If you're online this morning, this is for you as well. If you're watching at a later time, pray this prayer along with us right now. Let's pray this prayer, church. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you went to the cross. You died. Buried. Risen again. For the forgiveness of my sins. I repent of my sin. I surrender my heart. From this day on, I choose to follow you. I believe with my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And God raised him. Amen.
Amen.
We celebrate the fact that people in this room watching online and in days to come are taking their place. Amen. Amen. God is so good.